true or false questions. See how well you know the biblical account of the Christmas story. Are you ready? Number one, listen carefully, there are no records of Joseph speaking in the Christmas story. True. I'm sure he said something, but there is no record of him actually speaking in the biblical account. Okay? Number two, the wise men were three kings from the Orient. False. The number of wise men is not recorded, and they were not kings. Never says they were king. Okay? Yeah, see, our songs sometimes aren't exactly right. All right? Number three, the little drummer boy came to the manger after the other shepherds. False. There's no little drummer boy in the biblical account at all. All right. Number four, the star did not appear above the manger. That is true. It actually appeared above the house where Joseph's family was living. You find that in Matthew chapter 2. Okay. How you doing so far? Okay. All right. Number five, Jesus' ancestors include a prostitute, an adulterer, a woman who committed incest, and a non-Israelite. 100% true. Rahab was a prostitute. David and Uriah's wife were adulterers. Tamar and Judah committed incest. And Ruth was from Moab. All right. Number six. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary first, and then Gabriel appeared to Joseph. False, trick question. Okay, here's the deal. Mary was first, but we don't know the name of the angel that appeared to Joseph. It's not recorded which angel it was. Some say it might have been Harold. Hark the herald angels. Yeah. I know, that was lame. Number seven, Mary rode a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. False. A donkey does not appear in the biblical Christmas story. Chances are she walked. Okay, the truth is we don't really know, but likely that she walked. All right. Number eight, Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem because of a decree by Caesar Augustus. True. Exactly true. Okay, Luke chapter 2. Number nine, the wise men did not arrive on the night of Jesus' birth. That is true. The wise men arrived sometime after Jesus is born. Jesus is called a child rather than a baby, and he may have been as old as 2 years. Okay? How you doing now? You still doing good? Okay. All right. Number 10. God sent a choir of chubby angels to announce Jesus' birth to the shepherds. False. Actually, God sent an army of warrior angels. See, Luke chapter 2, verse 13, it addresses them as a company and a host, and those are military terms, okay? So they were warrior angels. Number 11, shepherding was considered a very noble occupation. False. In the first century BC, shepherding was a humble occupation. Shepherds were actually unable to remain ritually pure according to the Pharisaic laws, and so they were considered unclean. And yet God chose them for his birth announcement. Pretty cool, huh? All right, number 12. Both Joseph and Mary were told that the baby was to be named Jesus. That is true. You can find it in Matthew 1:21 and Luke 1:31. In Judaism, babies were always named by their father, and here we see God the Father, rather than Joseph, giving Jesus his name. And by the way, Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, the successor of Moses, and Joshua means Yahweh saves, or God saves. All right, 13. When Herod heard about Jesus, he was the only one concerned about this new king. False. The scripture says all Jerusalem was disturbed by this news. Okay, only a couple more left. Are you acing it? Okay, number 14. After the angel's announcements, the shepherds went straight to Bethlehem to see Jesus. True? Correct. They were excited. They didn't hesitate. They went right there to see what was going on. And then, number 15, some of the shepherds doubted and refused to believe the message they heard from the angels. False. They went to see the baby right away. They spread the word, and they praised God for what they had been permitted to see and hear. So there's no doubt here. That's the actual biblical story. How did you do? Anybody get 100%? Okay. All right. This morning, I just a few thoughts. I want to talk about some of the Christian meaning to some traditions surrounding Christmas. According to the astronomers, on the night of December 21st, the Earth is its darkest, the night is the longest, and the light of day is the shortest, and the sun is actually the closest to the Earth of any time of the year. What an amazing picture of Christ coming to us. In John 1, it says that he came to a sin-darkened world. He came as a sunrise from on high and offered a free gift of salvation and liberation from servitude to the servants of darkness. And now we celebrate his birth on December 25th, just a few days after that long night. In fact, December 25th has some interesting past to it. Probably Jesus was not actually born on December 25th. Okay, we don't really know the exact date of his birth, but we celebrate on December 25th, and there was a time when there was simply a festival of emancipation, of freedom, and it included gift-giving and the triumph of light after the longest night. So it came a little bit after December 21st, and they had this big celebration because now the days are going to get longer, and they were sharing gifts and so forth, and Christians adopted that as our day to celebrate Jesus, the light of the world, the gift of God coming in December 25th. Then evergreens. We have a Christmas tree. Most of us have Christmas trees. We have one out in our foyer. Evergreen trees were a symbol of eternal life. And Martin Luther actually introduced them to the Reformation Church as a picture of our endless life in Christ by bringing in a tree to his family on Christmas Eve lit with candles. So the eternal life we can have through Jesus. And the candles then are a picture that Christ is the light of the world. Pretty cool. Holly, a wreath of holly, speaks of the thorns in the crown of Jesus. We've talked before, you know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus and we think of baby Jesus, but really the story is way more than just his birth and way more than just a baby. He actually is the Savior of the world. The man who died for us and was crucified for us. And that brings us to red. It's a color of Christmas that speaks of Christ's blood and his death, which was shed for us. And then there's gifts. Gifts are a reminder to us of the gifts of the wise men, the magi, to the baby Jesus, as well as the greatest gift of all time, eternal life to those who believe, the gift of Jesus Christ to all of us. Mistletoe. This is an interesting one. Mistletoe was an ancient symbol from the Roman times, and it was under mistletoe that old enmities and broken friendships were restored. So Christ was the one who took away the enmity and gave us peace with God. Isn't that interesting? And then bells. Bells are associated with ringing out good news. And Christ is the ultimate good news. So let the bells ring, the good news of Jesus. And then there's just a couple more I want to mention, a little more modern additions. We get St. Nicholas. actually existed. There was a man named St. Nicholas. He was an early bishop of a church in Turkey. And he became aware of some desperate needs in his congregation and of a family having to sell their children into slavery. So one night he came and left money on their doorstep, and it was in a gold stocking. St. Nicholas. Which later became Santa Claus. And we're all familiar with Santa Claus as part of Christmas. And I'm not a big promoter of Santa Claus at all, but there is an interesting connection here. Santa Claus is a Dutch word that is actually Sinterklaas, which is St. Nicholas in English. I also heard a guy one time, I think it was on Michelson in the Morning on WHO, that said the derivation of Santa Claus is the Dutch pronunciation of St. Nicholas. And, you know, the Dutch, we kind of pick on them for their pronunciation, you know. If somebody doesn't speak real fluently, we might call them Dutch, okay? So they could not say St. Nicholas very clearly, so they would say Sant Nicholas, Santa Claus. I heard a guy on the radio say that's the derivation, how we got that name. And so some interesting connections. Not all of these started as Christian, but there is some Christian meaning in them now, today. And then I just want to wrap things up this morning with some attitudes that we ought to have around Christmas time. And the first is this, faith and submission. We find this in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. After Mary hears the prophecy from the angel, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." So she trusted what God was saying, and she was willing to follow his lead. We also see it in Joseph in Matthew 1:24. Joseph had his dream, and the angel spoke to him, and it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. So here we have both of the parents in the Christmas story heard from God, they had faith, they trusted what he was saying, and they submitted to his leadership, and they said, we're going to do what he's calling us to do. And as I mentioned earlier, that was not necessarily all glamorous for them. It actually meant a very hard life for them. And yet they were willing to put their faith and trust in him and submit to his lead. Their faith and submission radically changed their life. And so it should be for us. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we submit to his leadership, it should radically change our lives for the better, right? You ought to be a different person because you're following Jesus. Faith makes things possible, not necessarily easy. Made things possible. And then another attitude around Christmas time is reverence. You know, there's a lot of festivities surrounding Christmas, a lot of celebration, parties and all of that. And I think those are in order, and yet there's a time for reverence as well, that we just honor our King. And here's why. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, the wise men come to the scene. It says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. So these wise men, they were probably pretty important people. As we said earlier, there's no real proof in the scripture that they were kings, but no doubt they were important people and clearly wealthy people. And yet, coming to this scene, they bow down and they worship this little baby. That's reverence. We ought to show reverence as well. The word worship is actually a shortened form of the old word worthship, which means showing God the worth that he holds in your life. So if the gift of Jesus Christ really means something to you, then that ought to stir a sense of worship and reverence as you think of what he's done for us. And then the last one is joy. Matthew 2:10 says, of the wise men, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Think about Jesus Christ and what that means for you. Jesus came into this world to save a sinner such as you and me. We were completely without hope. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he rescues us. That is super great news. And that should stir some joy. I was lost. Now I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Isn't that a joyful thought? I know you've heard this before, but Billy Sunday said, if you have no joy in your religion, there's a leak somewhere. You know, if you really understand the good news of the Bible, the good news of Jesus Christ, that ought to stir up some joy in you. There's something to celebrate. There's a story about a Hindu trader in Egypt who once asked a missionary, what do you put on your face to make it shine? And was surprised the man of God answered, I don't put anything on it. His questioner began to lose patience and said emphatically, yes, you do. All of you who believe in Jesus seem to have it. I've seen it in the towns of Agra and Surat and even in the city of Bombay. And suddenly the Christian understood, and his face glowed even more as he said, now I know what you mean, and I will tell you the secret. It's not something we put on the outside, but something that comes from within. It's the reflection of the light of God in our hearts. Isn't that good? A genuine encounter with the living God will change you. It will shine through you. And it will bring, as the old hymn says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. The good news should change your life. We should respond with faith and submission. Is God worthy of our trust? You know, it's not too hard to follow a leader when you trust them. And so we can submit and follow the leadership of our Lord Jesus Christ because we trust him. And then there ought to be some moments of reverence as we just simply honor our King. But there's also some joy, some celebrating because of the good news of what Jesus has done for us. Amen? And so I say to you, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hope you have a great day. I want to close this morning with a song, and let's do the reverence part where we simply honor the Lord Jesus. And so would you please stand? And let's sing. This is just an older chorus, but I love it. Let's sing together. There's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something